Macmillan Audio presents Poisoner in Chief by Stephen Kinzer. Read by James Lincoln. Ligarius. What's to do? Brutus. A piece of work that will make sick men whole. Ligarius. But are not some whole that we must make sick? Brutus. That must we also. Shakespeare. Julius Caesar. Poisoner in Chief. Chapter 1. I needed more of a challenge. Years of wandering through distant lands, never knowing who or what lies around the next bend. It is a prospect to stir any adventurous soul. During the second half of the 20th century, few American souls were as restless as that of Sidney Gottlieb. He spent his career deep inside Washington's secret world. No one knew what he did, but he seemed to have earned a fulfilling retirement. A more ordinary man might have been happy to spend his later years relaxing, reminiscing, or playing with grandchildren. Gottlieb, however, was a psychic voyager, far from anyone's stereotype of the career civil servant. His home was an echo lodge in the woods with outdoor toilets and a vegetable garden. He meditated, wrote poetry, and raised goats. Gottlieb was just 54 years old when he retired. His career ended well, with a ceremony at which he was awarded a medal for distinguished service. Soon afterward, he and his wife sold their home and almost everything else they owned. In the autumn of 1973, they set off to seek humanitarian adventure and spiritual fulfillment. Their plan was marvelously vague: board a freighter in San Francisco and go wherever it was going. They had little interest in sightseeing or conventional tourism. The Gottliebs wanted to spend their older years serving the world's neediest people. Australia was their first stop. After a while there, they booked a passage onward. A year of wandering led them to India. They learned of a hospital where victims of leprosy were treated and made their way there to volunteer. Living among the patients, they embraced the work of caring for society's cast-offs. Then, on a summer day in 1975, a message from Washington shattered Gottlieb's world. Someone had discovered who he was. The United States Senate wanted to question him. In two decades at the Central Intelligence Agency, Gottlieb had directed history's most systematic search for techniques of mind control. He was also the CIA's chief poison maker. His world had been shrouded in secrecy so complete as to render him invisible. Now he was being summoned home. He would be expected to account for his deeds, possibly even to appear in public. Never could he have imagined such a twist of fortune. Soon after Gottlieb arrived in Washington, friends told him he needed a lawyer. One suggested Terry Lenzner, who had worked for the Senate Watergate Committee. Gottlieb called him. After they met, Lenzner wrote, "I was in contact with Dr. Death himself." For years, Gottlieb had overseen medical experiments and special interrogation projects in which hundreds of people were tormented and many minds were permanently shattered. No one had ever plunged into this kind of work with more ambition or enthusiasm. Gottlieb justified it all in the name of science and patriotism until the end, when his conscience finally broke through. In the years after Gottlieb reluctantly returned to Washington, bits of information about his work began to emerge. He testified at two rounds of Senate hearings. Later, he was forced to defend himself against lawsuits filed by people who had come to suspect that they were among his victims. He revealed almost nothing beyond the fact that before leaving the CIA, he had destroyed all records of what he did. He was never convicted of a crime. His funeral in 1999 was private. Enough had become known about Gottlieb to tantalize obituary writers. The New York Times published its obituary under the circumspect headline, "Sidney Gottlieb, 80, dies, took LSD to CIA." It called Gottlieb a kind of genius, striving to explore the frontiers of the human mind for his country while searching for religious and spiritual meaning in his life.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?